Hello, Delphina here to talk to you about our official Screen Tones Patreon launch. Woo! If you like our webcomic resources and want to support the work we do, head on over to patreon.com/screentonescast and become a patron today. All support helps us cover the cost of the resources needed for the projects we create and gets more webcomics help out there to the masses. That's patreon.com/screentonescast. Thanks for your support.
Just do it! Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday is set tomorrow, so just do it! Face your dreams! I'm true!
And welcome to Screen Tones, where we talk anything and everything webcomics. Today, we're going to be talking about how to stay motivated and to stay on a single comic idea. I'm Crispy, I use she, they pronouns, and I work on the webcomics Ghost Young Sickness and Lunar Blight.
I'm Star, my pronouns are she, her, and I make the comic Cast Off.
And I'm Ray, and my pronouns are they, them, and I make the webcomics Overlord of Ravenfell and On Empyrean High.
So, do you have a bunch of ideas, but you can never really stay fixated on just one? It can be tricky to just stay focused for a project on as long as a webcomic, especially when everything else starts to look so much shinier. But there are things that you can do to increase your chances of seeing it through the end and resisting the plot bunnies. So today, we're going to be talking about that. I'm excited about this one because I see this a lot in webcomic spaces. And Star, I know that you see this a lot in Star spaces.
Yes, absolutely. This was a peek behind the curtain here. This was an episode that I pitched because this is not the most common question I get, but this is definitely in the top five of most frequently asked webcomic related questions that I get in my YouTube comments.
And, you know, this is interesting because, like, I feel like I've been there. I think we've all been there. And we're going to talk about, like, strategies to kind of keep on the one project at a time kind of thing and what to do with it. But, you know, I see it as, like, I used to do that when I started out with something like with webcomics, and I had like a billion ideas, and you're just like, I'm inspired by this. I'm going to have Ninja Turtles, and I'm going to have, you know, werewolves, and I'm going to have magical unicorns. And it's just like all the ideas. And so it is hard to stay on one. So let's freaking dive in. So I'm going to ask you, Star, personally, have you ever dealt with exciting other comic ideas besides your main project? And, you know, tell us a bit about them and whether or not you were able to resist the siren songs.
So this is actually a very funny question for me because Cast Off was my side project for a while.
My God.
That I eventually dumped my first webcomic to work on instead.
Oh my God.
You know, oh, what? Valid.
Yeah. So that's why I feel like I'm terrible. This is why I wanted to pitch this as a podcast episode, because I do not feel like I am good for answering this question.
No,
whenever
this is
people
be great.
Ask, I'm like, no, listen, I broke up with my main girlfriend to hang out with my side hoe, and that side hoe is now my career. So, like,
okay, so you broke up with her main, like, what
yeah.
was, how did that happen? Tell us what's going on.
Okay, so here's basically what happened, is that I started my first webcomic Psy because I was bored.
Oh!
I had a original, my very first attempt at a longer webcomic that actually stuck the landing and lasted longer than, like, six pages was a, I guess you could call it an urban fantasy comic called Psy. It was kind of sort of basically like Harry Potter, but it's not a boarding school. It's like the YMCA and all the kids are psychic instead of wizards. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's just what I was into at the time. And I had the ideas for like a couple months leading up to it. And I was just kind of, you know, playing around. And after I graduated high school, I'm like, it's summer break and I'm bored. I'm going to start a webcomic. And so I was just kind of at that point just doing it because it was fun. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that many readers. I was just like, I like comics. but I started having ideas for Cast-Off around 6 months into Psy. But the reason that I didn't start, I didn't drop Psy immediately and work on Cast-Off was because I was still kind of like developing Cast-Off in the back of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one just kind of like bubbled and percolated, and I went through a couple of false starts. Before what ended up happening was I got to a point in Psy, I'm working on Psy during all of this and like kind of just brainstorming about Cast-Off in the background. He got to a point where I was just not happy with Psy anymore. And I was just like, yeah, I think I'm done with you. There's a whole story there. It was mostly just that I had to take a really long hiatus to work on mm-hmm. school stuff. And I came back to it. I'm like, oh, I don't like this anymore. This is kind of bad.
Yeah.
And so after I shelved that one, I turned slightly to the left and looked at Cast-Off and was like, yep. Let's do this then. And it was funny because I was talking about this before we started recording, that Cast-Off was always intended on being like kind of, you know, a fantasy comic. And so what ended up happening was that I would come up with ideas for like all these cool characters and all these cool plot points and all this fun world building stuff. And it just categorically did not fit into Psy because Psy was like a very low fantasy, urban fantasy story.
Mm-hmm.
And so anytime I had an idea that did not work in Psy, I just shoved it into the bucket labeled Cast-Off. And I was like, I'll deal with that later. And so what ended up happening was that Cast-Off was just the junk drawer where I kept like all of my weird side ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's my most self-indulgent story where it's like, I don't need to do anything else, and I have no want to do anything else because I've made everything that I want to do into one story. I put it all into one bucket. Is that great for scope creep? No. Am I having fun? Absolutely.
And like, you know, fun is like really important when it's a huge friggin' project like, you know, web comics, because I think the thing that I always like to say to folks is that, you know, it will take at least 7 to 10 years to tell the story. That's the commitment that you're going to get into when you do something like webcomics and beyond. Like, it doesn't stop at 10 years. Like, yeah, you know,
just only 10 years just hit the decade. I'm only halfway through. Shakes your damn hand.
Good luck.
But it's like, that's when it either hits the ground running, or but that's like, regardless, like that's the amount of time you're going to be spending. You're going to be spending a lot. So it needs to be something fun. So I don't know. I mean, enjoy it. Have those, you know, ideas in there.
1,000%, 100%, 1,000,000%. Those were not in order. It's fine. Maybe a potential idea is that I know for me, I'm a big outliner. I like to have like, you know, a general plot outline and a lot of stuff worked out. I feel like there's no harm in, you know, having a pot to boil,
mm-hmm.
like coming to a boil on the back burner. I don't think there's any harm in that. I mean, I'm kind of always thinking it's like, you know, I've got my main project and I've got my back burner pots that are slowly coming to a boil. And I feel like if you've got all these fun ideas that you're coming up with, just drop them in that back burner pot for a little bit. It's yeah. fun to, you can think about them. You can like, you know, draw those blorbos. I don't think there's any harm in that. It's just that, you know, comics are a big commitment. And if you're coming up with these ideas, you kind of want to think, it's like, okay, do I love this enough to do a comic about it? Because comics yes. are a lot.
Yes, it's exactly that. They are a huge commitment. So mm-hmm. There's a lot of things to consider when you're doing that.
I think it's worth like letting them stew for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You it's good to be impulsive, but it's not good to be like so excessively compulsive it's ruining your workflow, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And like coming up with like an amalgamation of like just things and not like a solid form that mm-hmm. doesn't frustrate readers too. Like, you know, there is a balance and it's hard.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It is yeah. so hard.
All right, Ray, target acquired. I'm going after you next. So I want you to tell me about your comic ideas that happened while you were doing your main comic and, you know, how you were able to resist the siren song or how you worked through it.
What's this talk about resisting? So my first comic was a was like sort of a futuristic fantasy type comic called Avalon with vampires and all that stuff. And it was based off an RP. And I did resist a lot of the ideas that I had for like other ideas, mostly because, you know, vampires are cooler.
Hell yeah.
However, I will say the RP group it was based off of kind of exploded and you know, lost a lot of those friends. And I'm like, oh, well, I kind of lost motivation for that. Mm-hmm. So that's when I sort of segued into different projects, like Overlord of Ravenfell, which... that I ended up becoming a back burner project for on Empyrean High. I'm still working on Overlord of Ravenfell, but it did become back burner partially because I lost a lot of the files and that kind of killed my momentum on that.
Yeah.
It's amazing how what a computer crash can do sometimes.
100%.
So I've been working on redrawing a lot of the like pages that I lost, and that takes a lot of time because, you know, my standards are also higher because I did a lot of those pages back when I was in college at full time and working full time. So sometimes I look at it and I'm like, what is that? But the problem is now on Empyrean High, I'm realizing I really love the idea, but I actually don't like working on it that much.
Interesting. What makes you not want to work on it that much?
I think I really like reading the kinds of stories that it is as opposed to making them.
That's fair.
Highly relatable.
Yes, and sometimes that's something that you really just have to kind of find out for yourself, you know, by doing it and going, you know, I'm not vibing with this. So I am actually working on characters that I had from way back when and possibly creating a new story. But these characters are some of my first OCs, so I have been with them a lot longer than a lot of the other ones, so I'm really certain that I can make something sustainable out of it. Doing like Star did and tossing a little bit of everything that I enjoy into the pot and letting it percolate.
Web comic stew pot.
Or just letting it rotate on the hot dog roller. Yes! However you want to.
Oh my gosh. Is this like a webcomic barbecue? Like a buffet? Like
we've got hot dogs. We got soups. That's it.
That's it.
Welcome to our barbecue. Take it or leave it.
We can also have like the soft drink fountain because you can press two different, you know, kinds of soft drinks
at like
two different webcomics that you're working on.
Okay, this is seeming less like a backyard barbecue and more like a fucked up Subway.
A Subway where someone stops working on your sandwich and starts working on the hot dog.
Oh my god, no, wait, that's the perfect metaphor though, because they always want to work on other people's sandwiches. I'm like, you already started mine though. That's my sandwich. And then you just sit there staring at your sandwich and you feel bad for it while they're like putting the meat and the cheese on other people's sandwiches and you're like, is my sandwich not good enough for you?
Sometimes it needs to go through the toaster, so they work on the other sandwiches.
Oh my god, the toaster is the hot dog
rotator.
Yeah.
It is.
This metaphor is getting messy.
I like it. I like that we always talk about food.
Web comics is also messy, especially when you have shiny ideas that are right over there that you can be working on.
This, you know what this smells like? This smells like a segue into the next question.
Oh God, it so does. I love hot dogs too. So Star, I'm coming after you with my sniper rifle. Oh, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah,
I'm coming at you with my hot dog spinner, my tongs,
Okay, are you clapping them together menacingly like a crab?
I am. I'm going to pick you up like a little hot dog. So tell me, what makes it so hard to stick with a single idea for creators? Like, where is the balance between exploring new creative directions and actually keeping focused on the story?
Gonna be honest, ADHD.
Oh my God.
Listen.
That's fair.
Listen, I'm undiagnosed, but I'm peer reviewed, all right? Everybody knows. You take one look at me and you're like, yep.
Oh my God. So with that, like, how are you, like, tell me about the process of, like, creating cast off and being like, okay, I'm sticking with this. Or do you feel like you're like, okay, I'm doing cast off, but I do see something shiny. And then I'm
okay. So honestly, this is very easy for me to answer because I am 100% literally in the middle of this right now.
Oh my God.
Because I got really into a fun little indie game that no one knows about. It's called Dungeons and Dragons.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, I know. It's like super obscure. You've probably never heard of it. Pushes open glasses like a hipster. Anyway, so it's my first experience, you know, kind of like Ray was talking about, like doing role play and stuff like that. And I am the type of person, I just get really, really into my DIY blorbos so much, and I'll like make playlists for them, and I will sit and I will think about their stories, and I will think about like hypothetical events that might happen in the future. And what happens is that they eventually grow beyond what a D&D campaign can contain, and I'm like, I want to do something with these guys. I want to like do something with them. And so that is actually what I am working on right now, is that I've just got so many of these little blorbos, and them just existing in my brain and during tabletop campaigns is not enough for me. I'm like, I have to do something with these guys. I have to do something with them. However, my problem right now is that I am very committed to cast off. We are happily married for 10 years. And I can't just break up with her to go chasing down my Dungeons and Dragons blorbos. Because if I tried to make more than one comic at once, I think I would die. I think I actually would die. So I'm going to do a novel instead.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I think we've talked about this on a previous episode, but just the idea that it doesn't have to be a comic.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a comic. Comics are a big commitment. And they take a lot of time. And not only do you have to write all that shit, you also have to draw all that shit. And I like writing shit, but I ain't got time to draw all that shit as well. and so I'm just like, what if I just wrote it and then I stopped there?
Yeah.
So novels.
Yeah, I like that.
It is a lot faster.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
It is. And like, you can do your own little splash images if you're like, I need to actually like exercise this illustration from my brain.
Absolutely. I want to do like illustrated novels where it's like kind of like light novels, I guess, where it's like, yeah, you know, maybe you'll get like once a chapter, you'll get like an illustration or like just a little mini comic. I don't know. It's all still very much like soup in the pot right now. It hasn't really started congealing into much yet. I'm working on the outline. It's going to be a while before it actually turns into anything. Got to rotate it more in my brain.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's the thing, though, is like, if you come up with an idea, it doesn't have to be a comic. And actually, this is kind of an interesting segue, is that I tried doing Cast Off as a novel first.
Really?
Yeah, because I tried to do NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, and I tried writing Cast Off as prose, and I did it. I finished the challenge, at least. I did not finish the novelization. But I got, you know, 50,000 words deep into it and then realized, no, this has to be a comic. This story relies so heavily on the subtle visuals. This has to be a comic. It will not work any other way.
Yeah.
And so that's how I stuck with that. And meanwhile, I have, you know, my D&D character stories. I'll sketch them, but those stories have like never relied on necessary strong visuals. And so I feel like the choice of medium is also something you have to think about. Yeah. And, you know, it's worth experimenting too, because, you know, I figured out that I really wanted to do Cast Off as a comic by trying to do it as prose and not liking where it was going.
Yeah. And the same with Ray.
There's no harm in just trying things.
Yeah. No, 100%. It's like I said, it's the same thing like Ray was mentioning about on Empyrean High. Like, you know, it took doing it to realize, nah, you know, this is not exactly for me, and, you know, kind of shelving that idea for something else or enjoying it in other forms.
Mm-hmm.
That could also be like work as a novel where it wasn't working as a comic for me.
Yeah.
Like, I still love the idea. I love the characters, but, you know, maybe as a comic, that's not the way the story needs to be told.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is like hitting the nail on the head there with like a lot of things, is that it doesn't have to be restricted to a comic for that. When you have so many ideas, like, it's like, does it have to be a comic for that? Mm-hmm. Convincing people otherwise, I guess they do have to just jump in and find out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I often think of like doing, I'm seeing a lot of people do visual novels now because they tried comics and they're like, actually, this, the way I've imagined the story is actually better for a visual novel. And one of the things that I always think about is what like Ghost Shunk Sickness would have been as a RPG Maker game, because I'm like, I always thought of like game elements with it, like a, you know, old school style RPG kind of thing. So I don't know, mediums are interesting to think about.
Is that why there's like little character sprites on the character page?
Yes.
Okay, Kermit.
That is amazing. For Avalon, I actually did start making an RPG Maker game out of it, and I even made the little sprites.
What?
Yeah, because I had RPG Maker for PlayStation, so I was messing around with that, trying to figure out how to make it into a video game, and I didn't get very far because, you know, I had no idea what I was doing. But I made little sprites for each individual one. I got like into the intro before I'm like, oh, I have, this is taking way too much space on my memory card.
Oh my god. Oh, I would love to see that one. Well, I guess it's on PlayStation, so I'd love that. That's so fun.
An ancient artifact. Yes. Of the forgotten years.
RPG Maker PS1.
It was PS1, actually.
Gosh, shit! I love it. Oh my god.
They have a new version that recently came out, like, a couple years ago, I think.
Yeah, and I think Steam was having a sale for it being for free for a bit, too. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna make video games after this, so stay tuned. I'm going after you with a question now, Ray. What makes it so hard to stick with that single freaking idea for creators, and, you know, talk to us about that balance?
Okay, so I think it's hard to stick to an idea for a few different reasons. Mm-hmm. For one, we are not always people of a single interest. We are made up of multiple interests, and they aren't always in the same genre. Like, I love horror, I love fantasy, and I'll even, like, read pretty much a little bit of anything as long as it catches my interest. So trying to, like, turn that into one story and not several can be really difficult, even if you have a project that you throw all your spare ideas into.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think it's a bit of the grass is always greener on the other side. Because you'll be working on this project, is like, oh, this is hard, but look at this idea that I've barely worked on. You could work on that, and it'll be a nice change of pace. And then maybe you get more interested in the other project because one has become an obligation, and the other project doesn't have those obligations.
Mm-hmm.
But then that project becomes an obligation if that becomes your primary project. I see that a lot with some people, is they don't like the obligation part of it.
Yeah, which almost can be like a commitment part, but
I think it might not necessarily even be the commitment so much as the expectations you have, whether of yourself or whether other people have of you, which in that case, you some people work better on their own versus posting a page every week and yep. seeing people interact with it, because that could make or break your motivation for working on it.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it's one of those things where maybe webcomics, or at least working on it all the way until when it's finished, might be a better option if that interaction and slow pace is really killing your motivation.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point.
But I also think that because webcomics take so long to do, you might not be the same person as when you started.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have different interests. You might just be in a different part of life than when you started, that it's just no longer valid or interesting to you anymore.
Yep. And those things totally happen. I've seen like folks who take a while, because like we said, webcomics take a while, and you know, they get a little fed up with who they were and they try to reboot it, you know, the reboot hell that we've talked about in their episodes. And like, that's another thing, is that, you know, the new idea just becomes trying to redo the idea that you had, because you love these characters so much.
And you want to recapture that interest.
Yes. Yep. So it's an interesting, and it is a hard kind of wire to balance when I see people get so excited. And there is like, there's a catnip quality to releasing something new and having people excited about the new thing.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And then you continue on with the thing and it becomes less new. And there is that thing in webcomics,
honeymoon period.
Yeah, exactly. The honeymoon period is definitely a thing. And this is not trying to be discouraging or anything like that, but like, readers waver, you know, you'll have more readers in certain periods. You'll have less readers in other periods. It'll do this like, you know, up and down, depending on the time of year, depending on the arc of your comic, you know, X, Y, Z. There's a lot of things to factor into it. And so, you know, the completion part really depends on that, you know, that commitment, or that you getting over that sense of obligation or something like that. Making peace with it is probably better put to finish something. And that's the other thing, is just, you know, what does the finished product look like, and do you want a finished product too?
Yeah, because if you're just going into it to experiment, or maybe you have a single scene stuck in your head. I hear that a lot. People are trying to get to the scene. And one of the things that I have started doing to try to like take the shine out of my shiny new ideas is I'll draw out the scene.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, okay, is there anything else that I want to accomplish with this comic idea now that I have the scene done? Mm-hmm. And you know what? Sometimes it comes out to be a really cool scene and I'm satisfied. There it is. It doesn't have to make sense to everyone else. Since I did like one for a horror comic, and it's probably better that it doesn't make sense. but, you know, I got it out of my system. And like Star, I also do a lot of prose writing to essentially be able to get my ideas out there and see if I can satisfy the shiny new ideas in a faster medium.
Yeah, I definitely think that what you were saying about just like get the ideas out of your system, you know what's great for that? Sketchbooking.
Yes.
Because I have so often just like come up with cool scenes or had scenes happen between characters that like are in either a D&D campaign or just characters that I came up with that I've never actually done. You just come up with scenes for them. You can just draw those cool scenes by themselves. Mm-hmm. You can just do that and then not have to make like a whole thing about it, you know?
Yeah, it's like that makes me think of how on Tumblr you'll see a lot of these cute little doodles of two characters interacting, and a lot of people are going, oh, hey, I really want a comic of this. Can you do more? And a lot of the people will try it and they'll run out of steam. And I'm like, yes. You don't need to do that. You can just have these two blorbos interacting and have people love it without necessarily committing a whole comic to it.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. It's like, just draw your blorbos interacting, make some interesting like scenes, but you don't necessarily have to commit an entire story to it if you don't think you have the energy to maintain and sustain that.
Yeah, I think it's like a lot of it is about chasing that high that you get from shiny new ideas. And, you know, sharing is a big part. We're artists. That's what we do. We share our ideas with other people. We want to see the impressions with it. We want to see the reactions and so on and so forth. And, you know, shiny new idea not only is like a breath of fresh air, but you share it with somebody else and they're just like, ooh, like, what is that? Like, tell me more about that. Because, you know, you've been talking about, you know, things that you've been doing for, you know, the other years. So yeah, I've definitely been like, oh yeah, well, tell me about your new idea. There is a rush of, you know, excitement that you get when that is something that comes, you know, to the table. But like Ray and Star have been saying, like, you know, it doesn't have to be a comic either. Like, I really love the idea of doing sketchbook stuff. And, you know, when we say sketchbooking, like, I'm saying like a sketchbook in physical form. You're going to get some crappy pencils. You're going to get that paper all stickered up. Who cares? And you're just going to draw it. And, you know, it doesn't have to be pretty. It just exercise it from your brain and be like, yep, I did it. Blorbo Bleebus and Bimbo Baggins. They're there.
Bimbo Baggins?
Bimbo Baggins.
Hello? Ma'am?
And they're embracing. And it's like, I did it. I got that out of my system. And, you know, I have them. And that's it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't know what you need to do for these shiny new ideas until you kind of act with them. And they don't all have to be an epic. They don't have to be like, well, oh gosh, I just got like a whole new idea about, I'm going to continue with this, Bimbo Baggins. And she has to go somewhere and it's going to be epic. And, you know, I have to do a whole illustrated novel about this. But, you know, my current story that has YOLO Baggins, like,
YOLO Baggins!
I can't just draw
a real character. Do not steal.
I can't just drop YOLO Baggins because I was like fascinated with Bimbo Baggins' story instead. Like, you can just draw out in a sketchbook Bimbo Baggins' adventures.
But Crispy, counterpoint.
Yeah.
I need Bimbo Baggins and YOLO Baggins to.
I do like, too. I'm sorry, Crispy.
I need to see this.
I will draw them.
I was about to say I need them to kiss, but if they both have the same last name, then I don't think that's going to work out.
Maybe they're married.
Like adventuring buddies and like do a bunch of dumb shit all around Middle Earth. I want to read this fan fiction. Hey, Crispy, when are you gonna get on that?
I'm scared. I can't do this.
Hey, Crispy, when are you going to make that webcomic about it? Hey, Crispy.
I'm getting my sketchbook out currently.
Hey,
and I'm going to draw them.
Hey, Crispy. I need these blorbos on my desk by tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. sharp.
Save me from Star.
No. The only way to save yourself is to draw me these fan fictions. I'm looking. I have the sniper rifle aimed on you now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, how the turntables.
Gosh.
You started it.
I did.
You're
I
the
absolutely
one with Bimbo Baggins. Like, who is that?
I'm going to draw it. I'm going to draw Bimbo Baggins and YOLO Baggins.
YOLO Frodo?
YOLO. I was going to say YOLO Frodo.
Yes.
That'll be the thumbnail for this episode.
Yes. And they need to be in soup.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, and they'll be in soup. Oh, I gotta
with potatoes.
I'm potatoes. At soup.
I'm writing this down right now. Because
what do you mean you're
forget.
At soup?
YOLO Baggins and Bimbo
Baggins in soup.
Soup. Okay, no one's gonna know what that means, but I wrote it down anyway.
Oh my god.
All podcasting, right, yeah. Baby.
You clowns. I'm going to the last question. Okay. All right. Here we go. So, Star.
Yes.
I have a question for you. Pour vous, s'il vous plaît.
You've already asked several, but sure. I will allow one more.
One more. Well, luckily, this is your absolute, this is the banger. Okay. What is your advice to someone who has trouble picking an idea and sticking with that idea?
I mean, the thing is that, like, I've always kind of been an impulsive storyteller. I chase the stuff that brings me joy. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there is kind of, like we've been saying, it's a balancing act, right? So what I would recommend is maybe, I think sometimes the hard part is the impulsivity, mm-hmm. right? And so I know for me, it's like, I love to have an idea and then put that, like we said, put that idea in the stew pot and just stew on it for a while.
Yeah.
See what it does. Apply heat, see what it does, make some playlists about it, draw my blorbos in the stew pot and just kind of see what happens. And I feel like the stew pot is the best place to explore ideas. This is when you're sketchbooking, you're drawing the characters, you're seeing how much you can, you know, do with them. I think a little bit of impulsiveness is good. I think it's fine to, like, you know, chase those ideas. And if you really like an idea and you really, really, really want to chase it, see if you can't incorporate that into the big idea that you're dreaming of. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, that's what I did with Cast Off. It was literally just a junk drawer full of ideas that I just rummaged through one day and was like, okay, what can I do with this? Mm-hmm. And, you know, some stuff didn't make the final cut for XYZ reasons. Some stuff stayed and got developed further. Some stuff changed so much it's basically unrecognizable. But I don't think there's any harm in, like, you know, having new ideas and playing with them, you know? It's like sometimes a new toy can, like, help develop stuff that you've already come up with. I would think just maybe, you know, like, maybe don't start a new web comic every other Tuesday. Yeah. Just like, okay, this is gonna seem off topic, but I promise is a thing. There is an idea if you're like an impulsive spender, mm-hmm. to just, like, every time you have something that you want but you're not sure that, like, you really need it, you write it down on, like, a piece of paper or something, and you wait 2 weeks, and if you still want that thing in 2 weeks, then you're allowed to buy it.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like that kind of, you know, just being a little bit more responsible with your ideas is fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, just, like, see if you can find a way to, like, you know, keep having shiny new ideas. There is nothing wrong with a shiny new idea. Shiny new ideas are all well and good and fine. But maybe a way to curve the impulsivity a little bit goes a long way, mm-hmm. towards not having 10 bajillion stories in progress that never go anywhere. I think there is value in, you know, just, like, playing around, seeing if it fits, you know, just kind of letting it simmer, exercising the demons in, like, a sketchbook or a mini comic if you have to. Just, you know, doing some self-exploration. I feel like there's a lot of different things that you can do, and exactly what works for each person is gonna be different. So, mm-hmm. definitely, you know, explore different things if you feel like you need to. Yeah, just, you know, just kind of learn how you explore ideas and see what you can do with them. But I would, you know, like, just, like, embrace stewing a little bit more.
Yep. You know, just have fun in the kitchen a little bit more. Simmer it. See the bubbles. Mm-hmm. You know, taste the aroma.
Uh-huh. watch those blorbos bob around in the water.
Just being exactly.
Like, what are they doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing Bimbo Baggins bobbing in the stew.
Bimbo Baggins. Boiling in the super tasty stew.
Now we have a theme song for this.
Yay! Oh my god. Webcomic people and our food metaphors. It keeps happening.
That'll be another shirt. We'll make it something. Woo-hoo! Oh my god.
I will wear it to every convention.
Yes. Oh, I'm coming for you, Ray. Unfortunately, the sniper rifle is now trained on you. We're getting really aggressive in this episode.
Yeah, what the heck? This is violent.
It's because I'm hosting. I would like to know what your advice is to someone, you know, having trouble picking that idea, staying with it, and, you know, tell us the Ray take.
See, I do like the idea of essentially just sitting on things. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the things that I learned from prose writing is sometimes some really good stuff will not make the cut. So a good way to deal with that is to essentially paste it into a Word document.
Oh.
And see if you can use it for later.
Yes.
And if you have a lot of ideas, write that down, especially if it's the scene. You write it down, put it in a Word document, close it, maybe come back to it later. And if it's a really good idea, maybe consider how you might be able to incorporate it in your current comic. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you can spin it off into one of your other stories. Or more often, what's probably going to happen, you're going to go, why did I think Sushi Cat versus a Giant Crab was a good idea?
I think it's a great idea.
Well, question, who wouldn't think that's a good idea? Yeah. Okay, so Crispy's going to make Bimbo Baggins and Yolo Frodo into a comic. Ray, I need to see Sushi Cat now. You don't get until tomorrow. I need to see this now.
We're stopping the podcast.
We're stopping the podcast. Get out your tablet and draw me a sushi cat.
Yeah. Actually, I think I'll do it with photos because I have a sushi cat right here and I have a crab.
Oh my gosh. Yes, please.
Stop motion web comic. Listen, I've seen people do it.
I like it.
I've seen it too. It's cool.
I like when people do different mediums.
Okay, but I do also think you just really need to consider what makes you happy and mm-hmm. what you can sustain. And honestly, I do think that there is a little bit of a discovery process, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the super polished webcomics you see out there are not the first comic of their creators. They aren't someone's first attempt usually, because a lot of people have comics that they have stopped and they started on their new idea that they felt that they was more in line with who they were at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it doesn't hit and it takes a while to figure out. And another piece of advice I would say is do not put off your magnum opus. Mm-hmm. Because I see so many people go, well, I'm going to test out this idea that's not as good as my first idea, but I'm going to save that for when I get better. Mm-hmm. And then they're surprised, Pikachu face, that they're not as interested in it as their other super shiny special idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's definitely something I've seen a lot in webcomic spaces, is that they're like, well, I need an idea to practice first before I go into the super awesome idea. And like, there's constantly that advice being like, don't start with a huge project first. And that advice personally frustrates me because like, everybody,
some people have huge ideas.
Yeah. And that's just like the thing is that like, there is such a huge fixation on getting finished, having a finished project. And you know, I'm going to drop it like it's hot. There are not a lot of finished webcomics. Like, very rarely do webcomics actually do get finished. And that's not a bad thing, because we need to realize that webcomics are free. It's made by people who are not getting paid majority of the time. And it's usually a medium that you can have fun with and just be indulgent with. Like, this is your truest self. Have fun with it. And, you know, I know that this is going to go into a huge scope that we're not going to really have time to talk about in this episode. We've talked about it in others when we talk about scope and expectation and, you know, the changing landscape of webcomics with platforms and people being like, well, I need more views. I need to do it like this. I need to do it like that. Goals matter here. But at the end of the day, like Ray said, it has to be about what actually makes you happy. And yeah, if you want Bimbo Baggins with a sushi cat in a pot of soup, turning hot dogs, and that's what makes you happy, like, frickin' put that in.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in. Like, we could definitely go on and on. Like, I think this worth an entire other episode if we haven't done it. It's like advice for starting first comics and whether or not you tackle the magnum opus first. My advice for people is generally kind of along those lines. It's like, hey, if you've never made a web comic before, starting with something a little bit shorter and simpler might be good, just so you kind of can get used to the workflow, even if it's not something you finish. But when I've given people that advice, a lot of people say, it's like, well, I only care about my magnum opus idea. Mm-hmm. So what do I do? And what I tell people in that instance is just take a scene, just make an isolated scene, make like a short story with your blorbos, or just like do a little lore, just story about it. It's like, this is how these two characters met. Do like a bonus story, do stuff like that. Exercise the ideas. And get some practice under your belt. I feel if I go on this too much longer, though, we will get away from the scope of the actual episode.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. It's a constant conversation in webcomic spheres, and I'll put a bow on it and just, you'll never know the process or how much you enjoy comics if you don't just do comics. And that's just, you're gonna have to mess around, find out, and stuff like that.
Mess around and find out. I feel like that's good advice for literally like this entire, I feel like that's a good bow to put on this entire episode.
I think so.
Sometimes you just got to mess around and find out.
It's exactly that. And you know, you're just never going to know if you're going to have fun doing it until you actually just go full hog.
Maybe not full hog. Maybe you go like half hog in a sketchbook. Test out an idea.
That's true.
Yeah, half hog it, see if it works.
See if you like hogging it. And maybe, because you know, maybe you go half hog and you're like, actually, I don't know if I like this. And maybe you try to go full hog and you're like, actually, I feel like now I've wasted my time because I actually don't like hogging.
Oh, my. Got away from me in the best way possible.
It's fine now. I'm taking it away.
It's okay. That's going to go also into the thumbnail. Bimbo Baggins, Yellow Baggins, a soup, a hog, hot dogs. It's going to be
room. Don't forget the sushi cat.
It's sushi cat. Oh my God.
You know, listen, they let you take cars and maybe also motorcycles, in parentheses, hogs, for test drives before you take them home.
Yeah.
Do that. Try out with your ideas.
Test drive. You know what?
I brought it back around to normal.
Yeah, test drive. The idea is you're allowed to test drive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Try before you buy.
There you go. You can lay on these mattresses. You can roll around. You can
for like, 90 days free with no commitment.
Who do we pay after the 90 days? Is it us?
Oh, I hope. Yes. Gosh. I hope
yes. So you have to pay your dues and
all right.
Send us coffee.
Yes. Please. It's Screen Tones Cast. All right. I think I'm gonna wrap up the episode. Oh God. Okay. All right, you clowns. I think with that, I hope they don't keep in clowns. I mean, you can. All right, clowns. With that, I think that's been a Chicken Salad Season wrap. I'm Crispy. I've been your host. You can read my comics. Yes, I have two. You can read my comics at ghostjunksickness.com and lunarblight.com.
Wow, couldn't stick with just one.
Called out.
Bam. I've been Star the whole time, and you can read my comic Cast Off at castoff-comic.com.
And I've been Ray. You can read my comics, Overlord of Ravenfell, on Webtoon and on Empyrean High at empyreancomic.com.
And next week is the match between Star and Crispy, where we WWE by a cage match. I don't know where that came
from. Just don't bring your sniper rifle.
Yeah, are we allowed snipers in this?
Thank you for listening to Screen Tones, a webcomic podcast. You can find all our episodes at screentonescast.com. We've got a couple links over there to our Ko-fi and merch shop, where your support will help us create more episodes and keep us talking about anything and everything webcomics. You can also find us on YouTube, Blue Sky, Tumblr, and our Discord server. Thank you so much for listening, sharing, rating, and supporting, and we'll see you next time.